God is good, and you know what? He's doing some amazing things around here, disciples, and the things that we've been able to partner with and be a part of. I would just strongly encourage you this month, get connected, be present. With Anniversary Sunday coming up and all the other things that we're doing to help out other churches, it's just a great time for us to reflect on what God has done here, what God is doing in other places, and just to be really thankful for what God is up to. Amen? Amen. We're in week four, our final week on this journey of embracing the vibe of Jesus. And the last 3 weeks, Pastor Stu has led us to this point of kind of pulling the curtain back of what that looks like, the Jesus vibe, and how we partner with that. How do we make that a part of our everyday living? And if you did not, or if you've missed a couple of weeks, I would also just strongly encourage you, hop online, go to the podcast, catch up, and listen to and be a part of what God has been doing with us in this journey as we embark on the vibe of Jesus and embracing that for ourselves and our own lives. We looked at the word vibe, and each letter represents a part of a piece of the puzzle these last 3 weeks. The V was for vision for life. I was intentional living. And then last week was behavior, that second nature. So this morning we come to a head in our final week, and that E, we're going to be talking about encountering the presence of Jesus. Encountering his presence. This is quite honestly, in my opinion, the essence of embracing anyone's vibe. But most importantly, Jesus' vibe. A.W. Tozer says, "For it's not mere words that nourish the soul, but God himself. And unless and until the hearers find God in personal experience, they are not for the better for having the truth." When we encounter the presence of Jesus, when we engage in this process of spending time with him, I believe that as we make it a lifestyle of encountering him, we align ourselves with the very heart of Jesus. That as we spend time with him, it's in his presence that we become more like him. It's in his presence that we are reminded of our spiritual heritage. It's in his presence that we become more aware of who we are as his children and co-heirs with Christ. It's in his presence that we catch that vision for life. It's in his presence that we develop a hunger to intentionally engage with him and with life. It's in his presence that our behaviors start to reflect his. His presence is what allows his person, his heart, his desires, his passions, his kingdom to rub off on you and I. Your vibe, my vibe, is what's picked up by someone else as they encounter us, as they spend time with us. You know, my wife and I have been together for a very long time, and between marriage and dating and all of that combined, we have been around each other so much, we've spent so much time in each other's presence, that there's very little that we don't know about each other. But the beautiful part in this relationship with Jesus is that it is infinitely more so. There's so much more for us to be a part of. There's so much more for us to see and to have his personality and his heart and his being rub off on us. Jesus encountered a lot of people throughout Scripture where by the end of their encounter, his vibe had indeed rubbed off on them. So much so that for some that encountered Jesus in Scripture, literally gave everything up after the encounter. Some encounters, they did things that went against the culture of their time in their encounter with Jesus. Some who encountered Jesus, they experienced healing. They found joy. They experienced forgiveness, grace, and mercy in the encounter that they had with Jesus. They embraced new callings as they encountered Jesus. We know this, that in all the encounters that he has had throughout Scripture and is still having today with us, that once they tasted it, once they got a glimpse of it, they knew they had to have hunger was formed in those encounters, which, by the way, in his presence, hunger is formed. We really begin to catch a hunger and a thirst for more of God as we dive in to encountering his presence. Jesus demonstrated a passion for spending time with his Father. And this is how important, and it was very important to the life and ministry of Jesus. And from that, we really need to see this morning the importance of spending time in him. So this morning, that's exactly what I aim to do. to go on the road of encounters with Jesus, the encounters that Jesus had where people were able to spend time with him in his presence and to see the changes that took place in their life, the impact that took place as a result of encountering him. Changes to their plans, changes to their desires, changes to what they thought they needed or wanted, changes of one's perspective or perception of themselves, all of that was impacted in the lives that he encountered. A door that opens up as we embrace encountering his presence, doors that open up so much more in relationship with him. Welcome. We're glad to have you here at Disciples Church, and we're going to dive in this morning to encountering the presence of Jesus. But before we do, I just want to pause and just say thanks for being here with us. We're so glad that you are. If this is your first time with us, I would just like to say there's a welcome brochure in the seat pocket in front of you. We'd love for you to take that home. That's for you to keep, just to kind of know a little bit more about us. Also, if you are here this morning, if you have your Bible, you can bring those out. If you don't have one, you want a written one, there might be one under your chair. If not, you have your smartphone, you can download YouVersion. And we're going to be starting in the book of Luke, chapter 10, this morning. And as you do that, I'd just love to pray. Would you pray with me? Father, you're so amazing. Just in the time that we've spent in worship this morning and just being present with you and engaging with you and encountering you and just spending time with you, the lives that are being changed, the words that are being spoken over people, the joy, the healing, the life that you give and that we get to be a part of in it. So we ask, Lord, this morning that you would just open our ears and our hearts. Let us be attentive to your word. Let us experience you in a new way this morning. We just give this all to you now in your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I was about 17 when I realized there was a moment at my house that I realized I couldn't stay there any longer. About 17 and every night was a fight. My stepfather and I just did not get along. There was a lot of manipulation. There was a lot of other things happening. My brother was bringing elements into the house that were very dangerous. And just it was just a bad time to be where I was at. And I just remember my youth pastor at the time kind of catching wind of this and hearing what was going on and realizing that I was getting ready to leave and not know where I'm going. And I remember he pulled me into his office and he invited me to come live with him and his family. It was over the course of the next 4 years that I quite literally always was in their presence. Not just on youth nights or events at church, but in their house, eating meals with them, watching them raise their children, going through the ups and downs of ministry and life with them, watching how a father corrects and loves his children, watching a mother nurture the family, how they teach their kids, how they raise their kids up, and as the priest of his home, demonstrating doing what's best for his family. I began to know this family beyond just words. I heard them preach, beyond the words that I heard them preach every week, beyond the things that they told me I should do as my youth pastors at the time, beyond the surface of what one might portray in public, but really know who they were as people, as Christ followers, Jesus, as a family. And it began to do something. Something began to happen. Who they were began to rub off on me. More so and more quickly than when I just was around them. When I was just around them at youth, when I was just around them on Sunday mornings, I was encountering them in a completely different way. They became my spiritual mom and my dad and brothers and sister, all because of the time that I had spent in their presence. Their vibe began to be a part of my vibe. It was because of the real time that I had spent with them, the personal experiences that I had with them. Their vision for the youth group and for youth in general became a vision of mine. My desire to intentionally get deeply involved and intentionally take next steps in ministry began because of them pouring into me and the time that I was able to spend with them. That I wanted my behavior to change and be like theirs, as real and as loving and as giving as they were. Matter of fact, for those that don't know, it was because of the time that I spent with them that I became a Denver Broncos fan. Is that going to clap for that? Preach, brother. That, quite honestly, everyone would ask, well, why are you a Denver Broncos fan? You're born and raised here. But it's quite literally because of this family. Every Sunday after church, We would go, him and I would go to McDonald's and grab a ton of quarter pounders. And if you know me, that sounds about right. And we would grab a ton of quarter pounders, we'd go back to the house, and we'd watch football. We'd watch the Broncos, and he was a huge Broncos fan. So he would tell me everything there was to know about Elway and just everything. And I became enamored with what he was enamored with. Their DNA was becoming a part of my DNA. There was even a time that as new folks would come to the church that we were at, they would naturally assume I was their kid. We were that close. To this day, I thank God for that experience, for that opportunity. This is why encountering his presence is so important to me today. Because I know what happens as you spend time, not just around him, but are engaged with him. We are invited to the Father's house, just like the story I just shared about my life. We are invited to spend so much more real time with Jesus beyond our Sunday mornings and our dinner time prayers, which are beautiful, important, and needed. But when you encounter his presence every day, his vibe becomes your vibe. His DNA becomes your DNA. When we do this, when we leave our way of living behind, which for me was my family at the time and my house and all those other things, that we get to see and experience him in such a real way that goes just beyond words. And do's and don'ts. Instead, it becomes the driving force to an intimacy that causes us to grasp that vision, to grasp a hold of intentional living, that causes our behaviors to look more like it. Today, I'm praying that we see with fresh eyes the reality that there is an impact to his presence. Things happen that initiates change in who we are. His presence goes well beyond just a good worship service or an hour of reading scripture or even a great conference being taught by a great leader. You can go to all of those and yet not encounter Jesus. Encounter as defined by the Merriam-Webster dictionary, which I love this, it says to come face to face. So as his presence can be in a room or in a setting like a worship service, we must desire more than to just be around. We must desire those face-to-face moments in it. This is what happens as we engage his presence. And if there was another E on vibe, it would be engage. Engage his vibe. To engage is to interlock with, to mesh together, like envisioning two sprockets molding together to get something done, to get something moving. To engage is an arrangement to meet or to be present with. To be present with. As we interlock and as we become more present, we will experience the impact of his presence. The first encounter to speak to this impact that I'm talking about right now, this interlocking that takes place, the difference between just being in the room and being in his presence, we can find in Luke chapter 10. And here we're going to find a very incredible truth, that in his presence, in the presence of Jesus, we find what is truly important. Perspective and priorities are found in his presence. We see this in Luke 10, verse 38. And I'm just saying that I encounter that truth, the fact that priorities and what is important perspective is found, is because I get that in worship. When I worship God, and I don't know if I'm just the only one, but when, like this morning, as Calvin is leading us, the team is leading us, there are those moments that I'm just giving everything I have to God. I'm coming into his presence with everything I have. I'm laying it down, giving him all of my heart and all of my mind. And in those moments, find out the things that I thought were important, the perspectives I had of situations I'm going through really are different. We find that to be true when we encounter his presence. As Jesus visits Martha and Mary, and it says in verse 38, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't this seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. When Jesus was in the house, Jesus was in the room. There were multiple people here in this room, but Mary is the one that got face to face. Martha was around him. Mary got face to face. She discovered what was worth being concerned about, and she wasn't going to have it taken away. How? She sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his voice. She was present in the encounter. She was present in his presence. What in our lives, in our theology, in our busyness keeps us from sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his voice, and be fully present in his presence? What is it about our schedules and our watches and our routines that need to change so that we can be fully engaged and present in his presence? The priority as you spend time with God will be his presence. Then a woman at the well, and I love this story, and I've probably used it in many different sermons before, but I can't go on talking about an encounter without really talking about this particular encounter in John 4. This encounter with Jesus, we find out a couple more things about being in his presence. And I'm just going to read a couple chunks and then just kind of share what the Lord had been speaking to me on it. In verse 4, you can underline the first one, now he had to go through Samaria. I know that doesn't sound like a headliner, you know, verse to underline, but it's going to be here in a minute. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to town in Samaria, to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" As we encounter Jesus' presence, we're going to find out just how much we matter to him, how loved we are by him. He meets us right where we're at in life, not just when we think we're worthy enough to meet with him, not just when we feel like we have all of our ducks in a row, not when we just feel good enough to meet with him, but Jesus meets us right where we're at in life. He wants to meet with you. He desires to meet with you. This was a very intentional encounter on the part of Jesus. And the reason I had you underline verse 4 is because it is said that geographically, he did not have to go through Samaria to get to where he was going. This was actually out of his way. And through reading different studies on it and different authors, some would believe that this was more of a missional need on Jesus' part. There was an encounter that was getting ready to take place that he had to be there. There was a life that was getting to be changed, ready to be changed, that he could not go the other way. He wants to meet with you. He's very intentional in this encounter, which is why, by the way, how intentional we need to be in meeting with him. Jesus was very intentional in some of these encounters, and it just showed it spoke to my heart of how intentional I need to be in desiring to encounter his presence. The woman in verse 9, it goes on, was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And then verse 10, you can underline this as well. Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." I love that part. If you only knew the gift that God has for you, if you knew who you were speaking to. If we knew who we were speaking to, if we knew the giver of gifts, like we all know we do, do we respond to his presence? Are we present in that encounter in a way where we know who we're talking to? Because if we did, this is a giver of gifts without limitation. This is something that we can have an encounter with that will blow your mind, change your life, radically shift your perspective on everything. Do we spend time with him in such a way that we know who we're speaking to, that when we come to him in prayer, when we come to him for healing, when we come to him for joy, when we come to him for a perspective on life and our calling, that do we go to him in such a way that we know who we're talking to? You know, when my son asks me what I want for Christmas and I know his money is my money, I know what to expect. I know what I'm going to get out of it. I know who I'm talking to. That what I'm getting is going to be whatever I'm paying. But with Jesus, I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the Son of God. I'm talking to the one who wants to have an encounter with me and spend time with me and share his vibe with me and change my perspective and change my thinking and make me more like him to see his kingdom revealed in my life. I know who I'm talking to. Do we spend time with Jesus in a way that we know who we're talking to? Do we know who it is that wants to spend time with us? Do we realize the kingdom that we are being invited to live in? Do we realize the gift of life that that he has for you and I? Not just the life in the fact that we're alive and breathing, but a life in relationship with him. Not just around him, but present in his presence. That if we would ask, like Jesus is asking the woman to ask, that if we would ask, and for this particular sake in this conversation about encountering his presence, that if we would ask for an encounter in his presence, that his answer would be, yes, I want you to dive into this living water, this daily encounter. Then it goes on to verse 4, and we see her kind of, again, not really grasping or getting what he's talking about. She doesn't really understand what's happening here, and there's a reason why to this, because in his presence, he speaks to our spirit. He's speaking to her spirit. She's only looking at the natural. She's not really getting this quite yet. She's kind of arguing with him a little bit. In his presence, he speaks to our spirit. He gets us to look beyond ourselves. When we spend time in his presence, when we spend time encountering him, being present with him, he speaks to our spirit. He gets us to look beyond ourselves. Then it goes on in verse 13, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. She starts to pick up on it a little bit in verse 15. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty, and I won't have to come here to get the water. Please, sir, give me the water. As we encounter the presence of Jesus, and as we engage with it, as we become present in the moment, and we give more time for the conversation to unravel. Sometimes we have conversations like this with Jesus, and he's getting ready to get to the point, but we only had 5 minutes to give. He's getting ready to break something new in your worship time with him. He's getting ready to open a door that's never been opened. He's getting ready for you to experience him in a whole new way. But then we cut out because we have to think about our to-do list after service. Give more time for the conversation to unravel. Give more time to sit with and to spend time with. We begin to find out just how thirsty we really are. She was starting to get very thirsty in this moment. And we give time to begin to understand what Jesus is really saying in our life. Because he speaks to our spirit. It takes time for us to get it, kind of like this woman did in the story. But it's in these encounters that Jesus speaks to our spirit and we begin to understand more about what he's doing in and through us. Then he has a word of knowledge and speaks something into our life that no one else would know but her, and then begins to tell her that I am the Messiah. She's shocked. Verse 28, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see. The woman left her water jar beside the well. This is pretty important because she had to come at the hottest time of the day. She was a shamed woman from the village and she had to come here all alone. This was a reminder daily of who she was and maybe how unimportant she felt. Maybe someone with no value. She left the one thing she came all that way to get. And I have found in my own personal encounters with Jesus that what I went into it with, I usually leave behind. What I go into that encounter with, my perception of myself, my worries, my concerns, my attitudes, my perspective, my understanding, my desires, my priorities usually get left behind. This is why it's so important to spend time with Jesus. The things you're holding on to, the things that remind you of things that aren't so well, so good, kind of begin to start to learn how to leave them behind. Then we have the encounter that I call the one-touch encounter in Mark chapter 5, verse 24. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his cloak, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. These encounters are so important in our lives. And Doug made a mention that there's all kinds of different aspects, different types of encountering Jesus. And this is just another one that kind of goes in that list, that one touch, that encounter that you go after desperation, with expectation, doing whatever is necessary to get that touch, to be in his presence. This woman had been dealing with this issue for 12 years. No doctor, nothing natural could help her. She had to stay away from people due to this being, her being unclean because of this thing that was happening with her. So to even go toward a crowd is completely against her culture, something that she could be paying for in relationship to what people would say to her or do to her. But she had to get to him. But there was a crowd. And there she found freedom. We find freedom in his presence. We find healing. We find the things that can happen in our lives that only Jesus can do in those encounters. Something the doctors could not do for the woman. Nothing she spent. Nothing she tried to do in the natural work. She finally said, I'm desperate. I'm expecting. I see Jesus. I need to get in front. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. There was an atmosphere around them, the way they talked, the authority they walked in, that others took note that they had been with Jesus. They gave off the air of Jesus. They had the vibe. When you spend time with Jesus in his presence, people will begin to recognize Jesus in you. Peter and John were oozing the Jesus vibe, so much so that the other people took note that these men had been with him. It's that time in his presence that we begin to see how we walk in his authority, because it's there that we build trust in his presence. We build confidence in his presence. We build relationship in his presence. And as I said in the beginning, it's a place where we are reminded of who we are as a child. And it's in that heritage that we can walk in that same authority that Peter and John are walking in, that other people take notice of and say, yeah, you've been spending some time with that Jesus guy. I want to spend so much time in his presence and engage in his presence and be fully present in his presence, so much so that others see the Jesus. That they take note that that guy had spent his time. As I walked with my spiritual family, as I call them, that I spoke of earlier, as I spent time with them, as I engaged in and did life with them, I became one of theirs. We still call each other today, and mom and dad, and they call me on my birthday, I call them on theirs. It's this aspect that as we spend time in the presence of Jesus, we start to realize and gain that confidence and gain that reality that we are his. That there's a real close-knit relationship that he is wanting to have with you and I. Show me your face, or as it said in Exodus chapter 33, show me your glory. The bold ask for Moses to ask from God. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And then Moses said, now show me your glory. In other translations, show me your face. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Father put Moses in position to encounter his presence. And because of what Jesus has done for you and I, he has put us in position to spend time with him. Jesus, I want to encounter you and engage with you. I want that face-to-face time. I am in need of some face-to-face. I want to abide in your presence. Because it's in that presence, it's in that encounter, it's in that fully present attitude with him. That his vibe begins to rub off. He's in the room already. He was in the room with Mary and Martha. But I want to discover for myself the things that he wants me to discover. And that happens as I abide, as I stay present with, as I engage. This morning I wanted to, and just a little earlier, I want us to have that opportunity this morning, where it goes beyond the words. It goes beyond the checklist of looking at the watch. Okay, this is the time where they're going to sing the last song, take an offering, we're going to go. It goes beyond all of that, where we make a decision to sit at his feet and be fully present in his presence. Would you stand with me this morning? Worship team is going to lead us. I love your presence. I love your presence. It's this desire within us to spend time with him, to encounter him, to watch that as we mesh with, as we engage with, that his DNA becomes our DNA, his vibe becomes our vibe, and that those that people will know, those who are in need of healing, those people that are in need of care, are in need of love, and are needing the people of God to look like, to act like, be like Jesus. We're going to worship. And as we do, I just want to pray over us this morning. I just want to ask and challenge each and every one of us in this room that as we worship God in these next few minutes, as we listen to the words, as we would not allow ourselves to not be fully present, that we would not be thinking about our to-do list later, we would not be thinking about what's for lunch at home, but in this moment, right here, right now, we would begin to cultivate a culture of daily encountering Jesus. It doesn't have to wait till next Sunday to continue the conversation. As Jesus with the woman, at the woman of the well, he kept wanting to talk. He kept wanting to speak to her spirit until she finally got it. And I'm telling you right now, she came to the well as a woman shamed from her village, but she ran into that village with the vibe of Jesus all over. Amen. So Father, we love you. We lift you up. We ask God that we would be a people attentive to your spirit, a people attentive to your word, people attentive to you as you enter the room, that it is not just enough to be around, but that we find ourselves immersed, engaged, present with it. We love you. We bless you. Let's worship you with all we have.